Rotatoes, it's Friday. I hope that you're doing well. We are back again with another episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast. That's right. It is part two of episode five. I hope that you are doing so well. I'm going to be back talking about Force of Extinction once again because I can't stop, won't stop talking about it. We're like a week or two away from this thing launching on Backerkit. We are getting so close now. So if you haven't followed already, now is the time to do it. It would be greatly appreciated if you wouldn't mind giving it a checking it out, because it's not only benefiting me, it's also benefiting the wonderful Edward Spence, old Brian, 8R1AN. Brian of this show, the wonderful Edward Spence, who has been co-producing this project with me. So it would be amazing to have some of you there if you have a chance to check that out. We're getting so, so close. Also, this is not a criticism in any way. This is more of a rallying call. I noticed that on our Apple podcast, we only have 25 reviews. Now, there's a lot of you. There's a lot of you listening over here on Apple Podcasts, and it would mean the world to me if you wouldn't mind just dropping a quick review or rating, because I know that Apple Podcasts really puts a lot of stock and importance in those things. So, like, hey, just whilst you're sat here listening to me waffle on at you and you're just like, please let me get back to listening to the episode, why don't you just go ahead and drop a quick review? Because if, like, enough of you do it all at once, Apple Podcasts is gonna be like, whoa, what is this show? Everyone should go check out the show. And then they'll put us on the main page, and then we'll get like a million, billion, bajillion subscribers, and then we'll be the most popular podcast in the entire world, and it won't be Joe Rogan, and it actually will fix everything. So, you know, just saying, we could fix everything. I'm going to stop talking, but if you get a chance to leave a review on whatever podcasting app you're using, that would mean the world to us. Thank you so much. Take it away, past me. Oh, God. Okay, cool. So you guys keep heading. You guys keep heading west. can you go ahead and make me, both of you, make me survival checks, please?
Yeah.
Oh my god. That's a 15.
Also 15.
Okay. You travel for some time, though you do not find anything, but the day does begin to get a little long. It starts to get a little darker. And as you've been trudging for a number of hours, suddenly the ground begins to shake.
Oh.
And as you look upwards into the sky, you see a giant purple crack stretch from one side of the sky all the way to the other.
Oh, I don't think that's good.
Sprocket. You begin heading towards the Coolant Falls. You are tracking your progress on the map, and every time you sort of take a path or skip over a tree or go round a tree that is sort of seemingly taking you in a suboptimal route, you notice that the little red dots that are following behind you sort of flash a little bit until you kind of point yourself in the right way, and then they sort of stabilize.
Oh.
It is literally as though the map knows where you're intending to head.
Wow, okay.
And so you feel like you're making pretty good time to get there. However, I am going to ask for a survival check. And this is just essentially you traversing a jungle and not running afoul of any other creatures, trying to, you know, make your way over logs and around potential hazards, things like that.
Got it. Okay. So either 0 or 4.
You travel definitely in the right direction, but you are constantly stopping.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are ducking into trees as some giant lumbering metallic beast crosses your path. You are grabbing hold of vines that then appear to be some sort of mechanical snake.
Ooh.
You feel so out of a sort of normal comfort zone here, because whilst this is metal, it is organic metal. It probably is slightly at odds with the way that you have coexisted with these things, these machines, in the past.
I'd say so, yeah.
And the sun begins to set.
Okay.
The Vega light begins to get a little low, and you know that you're going to be traveling soon at night, which is potentially dangerous. You don't know necessarily what jungle you're in, but traveling in any kind of strange and hostile place at night is not usually a particularly good idea. And as the light does begin to get quite dim, you do notice that you're not far off of the Coolant Hills. Like, you think the Coolant Falls, sorry. You feel like you could get there in probably the next hour or so if you forged on. However, the ground suddenly shakes. As you look up into the sky, you see a giant purple crack seems to appear in it, running from one end of the sky all the way to the other. So, you've got a choice. You can kind of either bed down and try and find some safety, get yourself a rest, or you think it's probably about an hour or so if you were to forge on and try and get to the Coolant Falls.
I think at this point, Sprocket is fairly convinced that he has gone in the opposite direction to the other two, but is also unwilling to eliminate the possibility that he has just been following them at a slow pace. I think he's going to push on to try and catch up with them.
Okay. So you're going to push on to the Coolant Falls.
Yeah.
Now it's my favorite time, Johnny. It's time to roll me a
D100. Oh, I knew you were going to ask for that. And yes, I didn't get a D100 out of my bag. There's a D100 right here. That's great. 41.
Sprocket, you forge onwards. And as you're making your way, the jungle is definitely getting slightly less dense. As you see, to your side, this stream of this sort of slightly more viscous than water, very blue liquid is running. You know that this is a sort of form of essentially like a natural coolant. It runs down literally like into crevices in the earth and sort of cools down embryum that's down there. It's a naturally occurring phenomenon. Along the stream, you see there are lots of odd shapes and sizes, things that don't feel congruent with the jungle itself. You see like switchboards and circuitry and things like that. It doesn't seem right. And you do also notice there are a number of rather large, rather sharp-teethed looking mechanical fish in this water.
Oh, God.
And as you follow it up, you keep this river to your left, you follow up, you see in front of you this stunning vista. It's like you open out onto a thicket and you can see shimmering in and sort of bathed in this light. You can see light reflects off of there is, as you look now into the night sky, you can see this giant sort of asteroid belt-like ring that seems to encompass the horizon just beyond that purple crack in the sky. Light reflects down off of it and onto this rushing coolant falls. On a rock in the center of these falls, you see slumped the torso of Brian One.
The limbless claw.
The limbless claw.
Oh my god. Well, I've got to get over there. I think I'm going to cast mage armor on myself to put my AC up to 16, and I'm just going to try and wade out there and hope that I'm going to try and go slowly. I don't want to disturb the water too much.
Okay.
And attract these mechanical fish toward me. And I want to try and get out to Brian's torso.
What does it look like as you cast mage armor on yourself?
It's kind of like, so I feel like Sprocket kind of reaches into his horn and pulls out. It's almost like a trinket, like a, you know, like when people have like little facsimiles of things as like charms on a bracelet.
Oh yeah, okay.
Uh-huh. It's kind of like that, but it's in the shape of one of those tiny little oil cans that kind of when you press the lever.
Yeah, love it. With the long spout. Yeah.
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 And he sort of holds it up and kind of and it just sort of, it's like it spits out a kind of like a light purple magic essence that when it sort of hits his forehead, shimmers down him in a kind of sudden rush.
Nice.
And then he sort of just stands up a little bit straighter, pops that back in, hinges the horn back down and goes, all right, let's do this.
As you step just one toe into this coolant water, you feel the icy cold of this. It is truly, truly so cold.
Okay.
However, you almost would miss it. Just as this, as you step your toe in, you hear behind you a rustling. Something pretty close to you, making its way through the dense thicket of jungle. Something is approaching you quite fast. It's barreling towards you. You still can't see it. The tree line is very close to you. You can hear heavy, sort of metallic and metal footsteps.
But I'm going to break for the tree line, I think. My temptation there was to, like, I want to listen. And then just as it comes to rush me, I want to get out of the way and it's going to go in the coolant. But I'm just going to break for the tree line.
Okay, so you're just going to run back into the tree line? Sort of at, like, a different point, I'm assuming.
Yeah, what I really want to do is just go, like, straight left, like, snap left and run, and sort of have a look over my shoulder.
You reckon you've probably got a few seconds, if that, so if you wanted to try, you absolutely could.
All right, yeah, you know what, yeah, let's do it. Let's okay. At the last possible second, I want to get out the way of this thing.
So, I'm going to need you to make me a dexterity saving throw, and this is going to be versus this thing's athletics.
19.
You just hear as this tiny little amalgamation of light bulbs and wires and rusted metal sort of leaps out towards you as you dodge out of the way, kind of watching it sail past your eyeline, and you see this little kind of mouth opens out of this mesh of wires and just goes, wait a second! You're the little Minotaur!
I'm picturing that bit in Umbrella Academy with Elliot Page looking at the little
yes,
guy.
Yes, that's exactly it. That is exactly it. Sprocket, this also feels incongruent with the rest of the jungle. You've seen a mesh of wires and rust like this before. It looks a little bit like Brian.
Oh my god.
Lands in the coolant.
Oh, Mr. Minotaur, come back and save me! My name's Brian Jr.
Grab onto this! I want to hand out my mace and get him to grab for it.
Okay.
Hold on to this.
He's currently making a lot of noise and splashing and flailing like wild.
Oh, no. Okay.
So I'm going to roll right now. Just a straight luck check. That is a natural one for Brian Jr.
Oh, no.
You watch as this hand, this huge mechanical hand, comes up and just drags Brian Jr. down below the coolant line.
Hand? I've got the death of two Brians on my conscience now, Jasper.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
And it's a hand? I mean, I guess that's better than fish. You know what they say, a hand in the brine is worth two in the fish? I don't know.
A hand in the brine is worth two in the fish. Absolutely perfect. So, we're going to find out what happens to Sprocket and how Sprocket's going to navigate this particular little issue in just a moment, as we're going to cross back over to our other group.
As you know it has ended. Welcome to the Evopocalypse. No one knows what caused this catastrophic ecological disaster, but in its wake, humanity is on the brink of extinction, and planet Earth has never been more alive. You and your fellow players are survivors, venturing out from desperate settlements with limited tools and dwindling resources. You must survive highly evolved predators and warped colossal creatures, with no memory of the animals they once were. But there is still hope. Together, you will explore the world you once knew, using your finely honed survival skills and repurposed weapons, not to mention mysterious and unpredictable resurrection technology. Hunt down the source of this disaster, even as it hunts you back. Force of Extinction is a brand new TTRPG that makes you feel like the post-apocalyptic hero of your dreams. Or nightmares. Be the first to face off against the Evopocalypse when the game launches this June on Backerkit. Go to forceofextinction.com to sign up today so you don't miss out.
I miss Johnny.
I know, I miss Johnny too.
I know, I'm sorry. Ember and Brian One, you have just felt the earth quake. This giant purple crack appearing in the sky. You can see just above it now as the sun is now set. This big kind of asteroid belt that seems to surround or sort of go from horizon to horizon.
Oh, buddy.
Look at those sky flaps.
First one big crack.
Oh my god. It is now nighttime. Traveling in any kind of hostile environment at night is dangerous. You, Brian One, you've been here, or at least to a version of here before. You've been to Sim. You know that traveling in these jungles at night is really, really dangerous. But you get the impression that this area you're in isn't particularly large. You remember seeing the coastline sort of surrounding on all sides on the treasure map. You can't be that far away from one of the destinations that you were heading towards, potentially the Coolant Falls. And I think naturally with your perception and survival skills, Ember, you kind of, you feel the same thing. You feel like you probably wouldn't be that far away if you decided that you did want to push on.
Yeah, I think we should just get to where we're going. The quicker we can rendezvous. You told Lil Brian where we're going, right?
Yes. He did not.
Well, Sprocket knows. Sprocket knows. So once they find each other, right, like, they'll know. We told him to tell him we were going west, right?
Yes.
That'll be fine.
Okay, yeah. No, well, it's all good. You lead the way.
So you're pushing on?
Yeah. I think we push on, for sure.
Okay. So you begin to push onwards. I would now love for you to roll me a D100. I'm more than happy for you to each roll a D10 and decide which one is going to be the 10 and which one's going to be the... if you'd like to.
Ooh, yeah, let's do that.
I'm legs, so I'll do bottom and do the little number. And you do tens.
Okay, yeah. All right. I got 40.
I got 6.
Okay. So, you forge onwards. And you're traveling for some time, and it starts to feel like maybe you're getting a little bit lost. You're starting to just get that real sinking feeling that you've passed that tree before. And Ember, you know, you've been pointing, you know, you've been keeping an eye out for these special colored leaves, like you said. And it just feels like you're maybe getting a little turned around until you spot two things. But this takes some time as you're going. This takes some time for you to do this.
Okay. Yeah.
You see just a little ways ahead of you, breaking through the tree line after a while, a large silvery building. Almost looks like a sort of like a hangar bay. It's huge. Big doors. And it seems to have this sort of strange metallic coralline structure sticking out of the roof of it at various points. However, on the right-hand side, as you see this building, you see a tattered pair of bloodied and scruffed up dungarees.
Like Sprocket's dungarees? To be totally clear here.
Go ahead and roll me an investigation check.
Oh, goddammit.
27.
Yes. Thank God someone has brains. 5.
Ember, these are 100%. This is Sprocket's. These are Sprocket's dungarees, for sure. Brian, these aren't Sprocket's dungarees.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I go running straight towards them. Oh, my God.
Whoa, where are we going? What are we doing?
What's happened to Sprocket? We got to find Sprocket. This is all my fault. We should have turned back ages ago. I felt like we were getting lost.
I'm excited to see him, too. But, like, look, if you could, like, get those dungarees and, like, stick them out, I'm feeling a little exposed right now, but, and then we can go and find Sprocket.
They're covered in Sprocket's blood, man.
That's not Sprocket's blood. What are you talking about? They'd be too big for him anyway.
Oh, shit. Oh. Just wiping away tears. Okay, sorry. I'm just a bit worried. I got ahead of myself. Sorry. Thanks, Brian. Thank goodness you're here.
I'm super serious, though. If you could... It's real breezy down
here. Oh, shoot. You want to put these on? Yeah.
If I could, that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah. What am I going to wrap the top part on? Okay, hold on. I'll just do a little knot, you know, tying the top here. Here we go.
Hey, he really cares about you, you know. A little cowman. Adonis.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And, like, obviously, we both know, but, you know. Just, I know you look out for us all anyway, but he's not gonna stop until he's found us. And he's looking out for you as much as you're looking out for us, so.
Yeah. Right. I like to be friendly with people. And sometimes I find myself in these kind of awkward situations.
Hey, but that's not on you, though, right? You know that.
Maybe a little bit. Maybe I kind of enjoy it.
But I think... And he sits down on the ground and just... Yeah, but I think... We'll get after Sprocket in a little bit. I just need to stretch my legs. But, I think, like you, there is this, like, warmth that you have. I don't think you can help it. It's like you have this whole, like, sun inside of you, and you are just so, so whole. And I think people gravitate towards that, you know? I think that's your gift.
It's really great that it still comes off that way, because I have not been feeling whole for a little while now.
Well, you know, preaching to the choir. And he stands up and just...
Right, of course. Yeah.
Ember, as you have this sensation, this quiet moment of reflection, you look down towards your bandaged arm.
That's what I was about to start doing. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, no, please, you have a look down. Yeah.
Speaking of holes.
Tell me, is your arm covered?
Oh, well, I have armor on.
Sure. So you have, like, gauntlets and things? Like, do you think you have, like, a...
I don't think I have gauntlets because I think my dexterity, you know, like, my...
Sure.
Handiwork is paramount. So I think...
So you might have, like, some bare forearm.
Yeah, probably. Sure. We don't know how armor works.
So as you do look down and have a moment of reflection, you notice that the cracks... And you don't know when this happened or how, but the forest around you is dark. Suddenly starts to illuminate with a golden glow. As you, Ryan, talk of having a warm heart, this golden emanating glow suddenly appears as up your forearm, these divots start to shed this brilliant golden light. And you can see it actually goes underneath your armor, and you have no idea how far up your arm these cracks now run.
I'm going to undo the bandage around my hand as well, just to see.
You can now see there are parts of your hand which are no longer connected. It's as though you can see right through sections of your hand. There's parts of your finger now where you can still see the tip, but like halfway down there's a large kind of golden sort of almost like crevice running through it. And you can see straight through parts of your hand. It looks as though it is disappearing.
Oh, we better get a move on. I don't know how much time I got left.
Hey, stay close, okay?
And it just kind of like holds her hand up between them. Wait, can you do me a favor? Could you just, I don't know, hold my hand? I just want to make sure I can still feel. Oh, shoot. I'm sorry.
It's fine. And he just kind of like trudges off ahead of you. Just like stomp, stomp, stomp. Very pointedly.
Okay.
You see, as this pair of legs trudges off ahead of you, you watch as this pair of legs... Can I ask, this pair of legs being in any way kind of looking where they're going or just sort of heading towards this big building? Are you being in any way cautious or kind of...
After that comment, absolutely not. Just walking off. Yeah.
No.
You watch as this pair of legs stumps off. These little faint blue lights sort of start to appear in the ground around this building and illuminating sections of the building as though it's beginning to come to life. Perhaps triggered by Brian One's presence.
Oh, slow down. Wait, Brian.
Sprocket.
Am I the only one alive, yeah?
Yeah, Ed's off.
All right. Bye, Ed.
Yeah, the rest of them hanging in by a thread. You see Brian Jr. get summarily dragged underneath this coolant. What would you like to do? You can see now still the torso of Brian 1 off in the middle of this coolant pool surrounded by this stunning and rather vast looking coolant waterfalls with right. All manner of objects. Now I should sorry comment that all of these objects, these strange incongruent objects, seem to be flowing from the top of these waterfalls, sort of down off of these waterfalls.
Okay, all right. What I'd love to do is take a short rest and do Sorceress Restoration, because then I can have four sorcery points back, which means I can then levitate over to Brian, but I don't know how much time they've just spent, so...
Who knows?
I hate being by myself. How far away is this island?
I'm going to say it's probably no more than 50 feet.
Okay, oof, that's a long way.
It's like a, you know, it's not like quite a lake. It's like, yeah. You know, it's like the basin of a sort of large pool of water. It's not sort of huge, but it's, yeah. I'd say it like the short, essentially what I'm going to say is like at the shortest point from bank to this rock, this outcropping, it's about a 50-foot gap.
You know what? I'm going to stick with my original plan. I'm going to try and wade very carefully out there, even though it's freezing and even though that was terrifying. I think that's Sprocket, baby.
Okay. Okay.
That was Sprocket, baby. She should have said.
Here's my question. For Sprocket, do you think this is more about Sprocket sort of controlling his own emotions as he starts to get cold and maybe a little scared? Or is this more a case of Sprocket, just like a pure test of strength, essentially, to be like calm and steady as you pass through these like turbulent waters? Like, what do you think is the bigger challenge for Sprocket? Is it sort of a mental control or a more of a physical battle here?
I think it's more mental. I think it's about trying to keep like his desire to help the others fixed in the forefront of his mind, no matter how much like discomfort he's going through. He's doing it for them, and he's just seen Brian Jr. go down. And so if you know Brian one over there, you know, like he's in a prophecy for crying out loud. Like, I can't fumble this. I've just got to press on.
Okay. You dip your toe into the water, and I think that the current is strong, but you're a strong and stocky Minotaur. It's not a problem for you. You've swam before.
Mm-hmm.
But as the cold starts to bite at you, and you can feel the rush of some creatures below the water, though you can't see them, passing by, it really is that test of your own mental acumen to stay calm and to stay kind of focused on the very logical task that you must do. And so because of that, I'm going to ask you for an intelligence saving throw.
Okay. That's a flat nothing.
Flat nothing, okay.
It's still better than a minus two.
Yep, that's for sure.
Oh, I rolled a three.
Sprocket. Something sort of nips at your foot. And I think it's a brief moment where you intake a little breath and just choke down some of this coolant as it begins to burn your insides.
Yeah.
And you now find yourself struggling to breathe as you're trying to make your way across. You're now halfway across and beginning to flail.
Oh, God.
So... Here's your choice.
Uh-huh.
It's either going to be a strength saving throw to basically keep yourself steady.
Uh-huh.
You can have a dexterity saving throw if you wanted to try and just book it one way or the other.
Uh-huh.
Or I'll let you attempt to repeat the intelligence saving throw. That will mean calming yourself down, but essentially staying in the same place.
Okay. I think I'm going to go with the dex saving throw just to push myself to the far side. I'm halfway across. There's no point doubling back now.
Okay. I'm going to say this is with disadvantage.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a 14 or... I rolled a nat 20. 14.
Oh, no! Oh, gosh!
14's not terrible.
With a 14, you will also... find out the result of your D100.
Okay.
You feel, as you're flailing, this steely resolve kind of wash over you, as you feel just like, screw it. If I'm dying, I'm dying on that island.
Yeah.
You somehow manage to get some semblance of a swimming stroke together, though you are no longer it being in any way safe or cautious or careful. And you are just pulling yourself along. And as you get to the island, you feel like you're so close. And it is at that moment that something hard connects with your foot.
Mm-hmm.
And as you look down, you can see that hand once again. You manage to kick off of the hand and land on the island.
Oh.
The hand, however, lands on the island next to you and is sort of twitching slowly. And you see the arm still slinks back into the coolant itself. And it just rests there. What would you like to do?
I would like to, like, and I'm talking tiptoe up to the torso of Brian and see if I can, like... Are you in there?
Do me an investigation or insight, whichever one you prefer.
Investigation. I'll take the 13 I rolled, please.
Okay. Here's the interesting thing, Sprocket. This section of Brian absolutely appears to be dead. However, you know that the other section of Brian is still alive, so this would be a case more of restoring it to sort of factory settings and letting it boot back up again.
Okay.
The really piece of crucial information that you do get, however, is that you do remember Brian 2 saying that they had managed to share their memories with Brian 1. So, as you fix Brian 1 here, or try to revive this torso, You have to be careful, because if you should fail, there is a chance that instead of reviving Brian 1, it will connect to essentially a different server, and you will instead resurrect Brian 2.
Oh, that's the most gut-wrenching thing I've ever heard. I feel genuinely a little bit sick. Again, a doggy treat to Ed for making that heel turn so intense. I'm still not over it.
Yeah.
Okay, I feel sick, but let's do it. Sprocket's come this far.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Hello, gang. You're not going to get any context for this, but Sprocket is about to make a very, very important roll. So once Sprocket makes this roll, we will then reveal what happens.
You fucker, what are you doing?
So, the question is, Sprocket, do you remember actually what I made you roll before when you were tinkering with the tree?
Persuasion.
So, I will let you choose between persuasion or sleight of hand as you attempt this task. And I'm going to be fair, I'm going to tell you the DCs are as follows. Bad scenario is below a 12. Good scenario, what you want, is a 16 or higher.
Okay, and then we've got grey area.
And then there's this grey area where essentially you don't quite manage one way or the other.
Okay, it's going to be a persuasion attempt. I feel so sick. This is a plus 7, but... 25.
Yes!
Okay.
Oh!
I mean, we don't know.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
You have no idea how good that is.
Oh, I've been feeling sick for like the last 2 minutes.
That was nearly so bad. Okay. Brian, your legs suddenly stop as you have this very strange out-of-body experience of being in two places at once. And as you open your normal regular eyes, you see a very sweaty, bedraggled, covered in blue liquid Sprocket staring at you with a slightly panicked expression on their face.
Hey mate, on a scale of 1 to 10, how badly do you want to kill me and rip out my eyes?
Brian immediately lunges forward and throws his gangly arms all the way around you and pulls you in and, oh, and pushes you back, holding your shoulders. Oh, I got hands.
Yeah.
I got arms.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. And he pulls you in for another hug and just squeezes you. And, oh, buddy, it's so good to see you again.
Oh, thank God. Oh, all right. Yeah, cool.
I'm assuming that your torso, your legs are currently relaying what you're seeing from your other eyes to Ember. Or they're doing a little dance.
I think my ass is saying the same words that I'm saying as, oh, Sprocket, it's so good to see you.
Oh, are you seeing stuff? What's going on?
And that is coming through my torso's mouth, everything that Ember is saying.
Whoa, you're not a walkie-talkie, but you're a talkie.
Oh, Sprocket? Can I, I guess, is it a relay?
Through my ass, yeah.
He's a cruelly talkie.
I get down on my knees and I'm right next to...
Say it, Brian's ass.
Right next to Brian's ass. I'm face to ass.
This would be like the perfect time for Tundra to reappear. Just be like,
wow.
How could you?
Wait, what's going on? Wait, how's this... Where are you?
I went east. I'm at the Coolant Falls.
Oh, shit.
I found Brian's...
Oh.
Well, I found this part of Brian.
Did my son find you?
Oh, God. Yeah, mate, it's not good news. I tried to save him.
Oh,
is he gone?
Well, he's got pulled down into a coolant lake by that massive hand there.
And as you turn your attention to that massive hand there, Sprocket, you realise that... Your new friend, who's just reawoken, isn't being particularly quiet or tiptoey. And you turn around and notice that this hand is no longer there. However, emerging out of this lake of beautiful blue liquid, you see first a head, then impossibly broad shoulders and a torso. As the water level starts to go down, that this thing that is emerging is so large that the water level is now rescinding sort of back to a level that it normally is at. As you watch this gigantic robot emerge in front of you, emblazoned across its chest, you see BR-311.
Bray?
As you see this Brett model.
Oh.
A fucking Brett.
Looks strangely like a slightly shinier and gleamier version of Brian, but huge and terrifying looking, as it trains its eyes down on the two of you. And it says,
"Now is the time for you to meet your end.
Oh, what's going on?
As a giant fist rears back. And we'll find out what happens on the next episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast.
What?
I know I said this was going to be the last one, but then you guys split up. So there's no way we're going to get to the end.
I didn't know which way they went.
Oh my God.
That's okay. We randomly picked, you know, East or West.
I love it. No notes. Incredible.
Oh my God.
Absolutely incredible. Thank you so much to my rotators. What an episode. I really enjoyed this one. The palpable anxiety every time you put your headphones back on was wonderful.
Awful. Hated it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Really enjoyed it.
I mean, every time we took them off, I was just like, oh my God.
So before we go ahead and get out of here, let's go around and find out where everyone can find you wonderful folks on the Tinterwebs. Johnny Chiodini, the wonderful Sprocket, who's been abandoned in a jungle on his own for a while. Where can people find you on the internet?
If you want to watch me, you can go to youtube.com/Johnny Chiodini. If you want to pay me, you can go to patreon.com/Johnny Chiodini. And if you would like to summon me, I've got nothing. All you need do is
throw some coolant in the air.
Throw some coolant in the air and I'll turn up and... No, all you need to do is go into your cutlery drawer and swap it around so it goes forks, spoons, knives, and I will knock on your door and say, "What are you doing?"
You know I'm going to try that once we finish.
It'll work.
Like, I'm going to try it. Josephine McAdam, where can people find you on the Tinterwebs?
Yeah, hi. You can find me at JCVIM on most, well, some social media platforms. doing stuff, pretending to be other people, being a little silly sometimes. Yeah, I could list things, but I hate listing things, so that's it. You can keep up there.
And Edward Spence.
I'm changing it up a little this week.
Ooh.
My unprofessional name.
Oh, shit.
And my illegal name is exactly the same as everything else, because it's Edward Spence. That's where you can find me if I do crimes and if I'm acting unprofessionally. But you can find me under my name, Edward Spence, everywhere. The most recent thing that you can watch me, and indeed our wonderful GM in, is the third and final season of The Fourth Age, our imagined next chapter of Middle Earth's history. We haven't streamed or recorded anything from it yet, but I'm fairly confident in saying it's pretty emotional already. So come and watch it.
It's incredible.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty amazing, actually.
I was imagining your like illegal alter ego. I don't know why, but immediately I was like, Eddie Spice
Spicer. Or Ed 2, as we know him.
Or Ed 2, that's true.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, if you want to hear us, if you're listening to this on the public feed and you want to hear us talking about these people finding out what happened to the other half of the party, then you can do so at the Arc Park over on the Patreon if you're not there already. If you are listening to this on the Patreon, we love you. Thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate your support. It's the only reason we can make this show happen. And if you like shows like this and or content like this and you want to learn more about how the sausage gets made, and other cool things that me and my company 12 Sided Studios are up to, then check out the 12 Sided Studios Patreon. It's currently free to sign up, and we're doing a monthly podcast on there with myself and Chad Pytel, who is our co-founder, who about talking about our projects, how we make them, what goes into them, all the wonderful people we get to work with, which I think all of you at some point have done stuff with 12 Sided Studios. So thank you, you wonderful people. So if that's of interest to you, then please go and check that out. You can just search for 12 Sided Studios and you'll see a little picture of Dode pop up. You cannot miss him. So that's about it for us now. And I'm going to go and look up what cool it actually looks like, because I honestly don't know. And I didn't want to look because I wanted it to be slightly more viscous and blue. So that's just what I decided it was going to be for the sakes of this. That's about it. Yippee-i-oh!
Yippee-i-oh! Yippee-i-oh!